Streaming and serving out of Fayetteville, Georgia, you are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe. Let's check out today's message.
So, as you can see behind me, that we are entering Missions Month, and the series for this month is 8 Billion Reasons. And it's very simple. Why that was chosen is that there are roughly 8 billion people on planet Earth. I actually, just for grins and giggles, I looked it up last night, and the most current estimate is like 8.01 billion people on the planet. So actually pretty accurate. So as we talk about missions, and we get into talking about doing what missions, what my focus is going to be today is on local missions and discipleship. We have a team that's currently in India. We've been talking about them and praying about them. I myself have been involved in missions out of the country, as have a bunch of you. But we also have a strong contingency of what we call local missions. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, most specifically, is local missions and discipleship. Now, when you're talking about missions, you cannot talk about mission work without understanding in Scripture, and it's, everybody calls it, you're going to hear this verse over and over this week more than likely, is the Great Commission. And what is the Great Commission? And I'm going to put on my old man glasses because I left my writing too small. So it is going to be one of the most universally used verses this month, as it should be, because when we start talking about the Great Commission, we're talking about Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. And here it says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always and to the end of age." So the Great Commission is basically go. Jesus is telling everybody, go. God is telling everybody, go. And we are commanded to take all the grace that we have been blessed with, the forgiveness that we have been granted, and the teachings that we have been gifted with, and go and make disciples just as we were. That is your mission. That is your mission field. And so the big question turns into, well, how do I do this? How exactly am I supposed to do this? And it's very simple. You start locally. Because even in Scripture, we're going to see in Scripture in a little bit that if you want to do anything with God, if you want to do anything, not just with God, but anything about anything, you have to do one thing. You have to start. Very simple. You are not ever, ever, ever in the history of all of history, nothing has ever been accomplished with sitting on your couch. Not one thing. You may have gotten a good nap, but you didn't do anything. You have to begin. And you may not even know how to begin, but with God, it works out just fine. Because with God, with Jesus, if you are following what Jesus wants you to do, all you have to do is start. Trust in Him and start. Because once you start, if that's not the direction God wants you to go, He's going to turn you. If that's not the path that God wants you on, He's going to do something to move you. Because, you know, we've heard this saying so many, so many times, you know, people get so hung up on, God bless me and all that I'm doing. God bless me here. God bless me there. That is the wrong prayer, folks. God, let me do what you're blessing. God, send me to where you want me to be. Because if we're following the Great Commission, it says to go and do what God has already done for you. Because for you to be able to follow the Great Commission, you have already had to accept God as your personal Lord and Savior. You have had to accept God of who He is. He is in control of your life. He is the one that's guiding you. He is the one that's going to send you. He is the one that's going to prepare the way for you. And we have to trust in that. We have to say, God, I believe You are. I believe You are. I believe You are, I am. You are the great I am. You have done all things. And we just finished up a month of talking about relationships. I appreciate everybody allowing me to, the leadership allowing me to be at a different church last week delivering a message. And that was my message last week, was about relationships. Missions and relationships go hand in hand. We have to build relationships with people. We even talked about it. Jonathan delivered a great devotional at our men's breakfast yesterday. We talked about relationships. And one thing that we were able to bring up and talk about a good bit is that relationships have little to nothing to do with your feelings. It all has to do with one thing, commitment. It may start out with a feeling. It may start out with, you know, that girl looks good. I want to get to know her. Or it may start out with, hey, that what they're doing looks interesting. Let me get to know them. But to build a relationship takes one thing, commitment. Because relationships are ugly. Marriages are ugly. They get ugly. Not everything's, you know, rainbows and unicorn farts. It's just not that way. There's ups and there's downs. And if you are relying on feelings to do that, you're in a bad way. You have to be committed to one another. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any relationship where the person or entity is more committed to you and I as to step out of the glories of heaven and die a cruel death to save us. Our Creator stepped out of the glories of heaven, gave up everything that He had ever known, had, or was to take on the sin of you and me, to take that on. He is committed to us. He is sold out 110% to us. We can be nothing else less to Him. We have to be committed to Him. So if we're going to be committed to Him, ladies and gentlemen, we have to take that Great Commission to heart and say, yes, God, yes. I'm going to go back to the verse in Matthew. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And I am always, always impressed with this little church. Always. We have missions that we support and go all throughout the world. We have most of them in Central America. But we have, you know, as you know, we have our mission team in India. We've had missions go to, you went to Kenya, right? Jamaica. Korea. China. I mean, it ain't all about you. So this small congregation here, we are not a mega church, but we give, we show up, we go and do what God commands us to do. And I'm going to tell you personally, I'm going to say this on a personal level, two of the best friends I've ever made in my life were made on a mission trip, and they're sitting right there, Ron and Victor. Now, Victor almost got me killed at a bank, but... The tightest and most brotherly relationship I think I've ever had with two men started on a mission trip. Every mission trip I've ever been on, I went out to go do something and give. I got more than I ever gave. Every single time. When you look in the eyes of those kids that you're going to serve, when you look in the eyes of those families that you're going to serve, no matter what you pour out, you get more back. So, the Great Commission is go. And it tells you to start locally. So in Acts 1:8, and for those of you that are not as studied on the Bible as maybe some of us are or some of us should be. Acts is basically the creation of the modern church. So in Acts 1:8 it says, "But you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and as far as the remotest part of the earth." So here with the creation of the church, it says we are going to start here, right where I'm at. We're going to start here. We're going to grow this. We're going to get it going right here, and then we're going to spread. We're going to start right here, and we're going to grow and build disciples. We're going to build people that not only are on fire for the Lord the way that we're on fire for the Lord, but we're going to teach them the way that we're supposed to be on fire. We're going to teach them what the Word of God says. We're going to guide them. We're going to let them mature. We're going to grow them. Then we're going to send them out, and we're going to say, "God, go. God, we know you've prepared the way for us, but we have to go and do our part." Because I'm going to circle back to last month, relationships. Why were you and I created? You go all the way back to the book of Genesis. We were created because God wanted to commune with us. God wanted to be with us. God wanted to have a relationship with us. Because before sin entered the earth, it says in Genesis that God would come out of heaven and walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. He would commune with them daily. He would commune with his creation because he loved us. And even after we sinned against God, even after we sinned against him, he could have easily said, "Okay, I'm done with this. Let me try again." No, he loved us enough that he made a way so that we could continue to commune with him. We could continue to have a relationship with him. In the frame of going all the way to the New Testament where his son died for you and I. That is the relationship that God has with us, and he calls us to do no less. Because if we are committed to God, we are called to do no less. I know it sounds morbid. I know it sounds weird sometimes when you say it out loud. But if you look all throughout Scripture, God never once promises an easy ride. Not one time. And I'm going to tell you that I'm standing here saying that's a true statement. There's people that I'm looking out here through. I know their stories. I know their struggles. They know it's a true statement. There's people that, you know, that they may look like that, you know, everything is all honky-dory with them. Don't believe social media. You know, everybody has their struggles. The problem is, the problem that society has is when you go through your struggles, instead of relying on social media to tell you who's going to fix it, you go to the one that can fix it. You go to the one that has the answers. You go to the great physician. You go to the great I am. You go to him on your knees and say, "God, you promised me you would look over for me." But remember, ladies and gentlemen, remember, church, that the promise is eternity, not here. Things may not get fixed here. Your promise is eternity. I can tell you that I consider what I went through nothing short of a miracle. I stood before this church. I was serving as interim pastor, and I was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer. Went to a doctor, and they told me to make sure my will was in order. 7 months later, I was completely clear. That's God. That's God. God could have easily said, "Okay, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you in heaven." That's our promise. And now, there's days, especially the way the world is now, kind of wish he'd have done that. I will say that, and I wasn't planning on talking about it, but I'll interject this into the sermon now because I think it's relevant in today's world. I read an article that came out. I actually sent it to the pastor for him to review. One of the largest groups that monitors Christian organizations in the country, in the history of this nation, 2023 was the term they used was violent on record against Christian churches in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, Scripture tells us there's going to come a time where persecution is going to be rampant. We have not seen persecution yet, but it's coming. More and more we're seeing attacks on churches. More and more we're seeing negative outlooks against churches. And there's going to be a time, it says so in Scripture, we have to be prepared for it. We as Christians will be persecuted. We as Christians will be persecuted for our faith. We have to be prepared for that. We have to be steeled for that. There's only one way to do that. That is A, you congregate together, you strengthen one another. B, you get into the Word of God. Be armored with His words. Because if you're armored with His words, nothing out here can faze you. May hurt your feelings, but everybody's feelings gets hurt every now and again. We just have to handle it the right way. And so when I'm going back to Acts 1 now, so I'll get off my little soapbox there. But it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now in Acts, of course, we know what happened in Acts. The Holy Spirit sat down and it was just, for lack of a better term, in that time of day, it was mayhem. People didn't know what was going on. They actually accused the apostles and disciples of being drunk in the middle of the day because they were speaking different languages. They were doing things that they had never seen before. Now, things have changed a little bit, but each and every one of you, if you've been baptized, raise your hand. See? When you said, I am going to follow you, Lord, and you go through baptismal, the Holy Spirit sits down on you and becomes part of your life. That is no different than in Acts. The Holy Spirit sits down and your life should have been changed for the better right then and there. Because then you gave up control of your life to God, to the Holy Spirit. You're asking the Holy Spirit to guide you in everything that you do. Now, we're people. We're stubborn. We don't always listen. After 30 plus years of marriage, I've learned not to listen to the person next to me trying to tell me where to turn. That's just the way it is. And we'll figure it out later. But God's always in the right-hand seat telling you where to turn. You just need to shut up and listen. God's always telling us where to go. We just have to be willing to follow. That's what the Great Commission is, and that's what missions work is. Missions work, to start locally, is to start where you're at. You take the grace, forgiveness, and healing that was given to you, and you give that same grace, healing, and mercy to everybody you come into contact with. Because when you do that, you'll then build relationships, and then you'll show them how good God really is. Because if you go at them grumpy and mad all the time, nobody wants any part of that. Things may be tough, but you still go at them because you don't know their circumstances. You go at them with love. You go at them with grace. You go at them with mercy, and you show them what God has done for you. That's how you build disciples. Then when you build a relationship with them, then you can teach them. Then you can show them what Scripture says. Then you can show them what's in your heart. And I've used this example many, 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 many times. If I stand before you right now and I tell you I weigh 150 pounds, you believe me? You shouldn't. But I'm going to tell you that's what I do. It's not what you tell people. It's what you show people. I can tell you stuff all day long, but it's what I show you that's going to stick. If I tell you I love you, that's great. If I show you I love you, that's God. We have to show one another we love one another. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to local missions, this church looks at that a little bit differently. We see our deacon board as local missions. We have a team of people in this church. I mean, I could sit here and list people all day that go out and help people with home projects, building things, fixing things, moving people. Any need that you have, we do our best to help with that. That is mission work. That is discipleship work. That is what God called us to do as His creation. That's how we commune with one another. That's how we build relationships with one another. That's how we love one another. We do that by looking out for one another, setting each other up, building each other up, and strengthening one another, not just in this world, but in God Almighty. That's what we have to do. That is your mission. That is every Christian's mission. That is my mission. That is your mission. It doesn't stop at these doors. It starts outside of these doors. You have to go out into the world and you have to show them what God is, who God is, how good God is, and get them to come to God. But they're not going to come to God if you put God in a negative light. Because if you come up every day and you're like, hey, how you doing? Man, every day sucks. Oh my gosh, it's horrible today. Oh my gosh, it's just wonderful. Hey, you want to go to church with me? Who wants any part of that? Nobody wants a part of that. But when you tell people how good God is to you, how good God's been to you, and I've seen so many people that have been through the treatments that I've been through, that are easy. It's easy for them to say, "Oh, everything's horrible." I went through something. God took me through it. There's some residual effects, but I'm still here. God still has me here. God allows me to do things every day, and I'm grateful. The aches and pains are worse, but I'm grateful. So that is what we have to do as Christians. And like it says, you have to start local. Ladies and gentlemen, we start with one another. We grow one another. We build one another. Then we send one another out. So, building disciples. I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but building disciples. And so, like I said, when you build disciples, you take that person, that new Christian, that new friend, that new relationship, and you bring them into God. You show them God's word. And it's written all over Scripture that when you have new Christians, and it says, I forget the verse off the top of my head, but you don't give them meat right off the bat. They have to drink milk. But they're supposed to drink milk until they mature and grow. But we don't let them stay where they're at. We have to be involved enough with them to where they can mature, where they can grow. And when you do that and they grow, it can turn into something amazing. And I'm going to show you an example of that. Where's the bald one at? Let me show you what discipleship looks like.
What are we about to get into?
They were both almost this tall when I first met them. But when I first met these two gentlemen, and the one that looks just like you, y'all were 10th grade, 9th grade?
We were 11th.
Oh, wow, man, you were older than I thought. So these were high schoolers. Met these kids in youth group. And Pastor George mentored, discipled these young men. There's an empty space here for his brother that was right there the whole time. And because of discipleship, because of we treat our youth groups as local missions, because of that discipleship and that growth and everything that was poured into them and allowing them to grow up and mature, they're now eating that meat. You're looking at our worship minister. You're looking at his sidekick who does just as much, if not more, sometimes. The empty space here was his brother Darren was our worship minister. He has moved into a leadership position at another church. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what discipleship is. When you are able to take these young gentlemen, Let them grow up in God's Word and teach them what God's Word is. Allow them to grow. Allow them to lead. Allow them to do what they do. They turn into these fine young gentlemen you see before us today. That is discipleship. That is mission work at its finest. These young men could have grown up and done all kinds of crazy stuff on the street, but they're in here leading God's Word. Thank you, gentlemen. Love you. And I could line people up all day and come in here that this church has been a part of discipling. And it's amazing to see, because in my mind, in Rick's limited mindset, this little church has it figured out. So many times we see churches that you're only allowed to come up and do things if you've got some fancy degree. They're not even going to think about you unless you have a seminary degree. I wouldn't be allowed to do what I'm doing in any other church, I don't think. It's a rare occurrence to see someone like me to be where I'm at now. And I'm thankful for it. But that's discipleship, ladies and gentlemen. That's a church that says, hey, we're going to live out what Scripture says. Scripture says, are you going to follow God? Yes. Let me teach you how to do it. Now that we've taught you how to do it, let me let you get up there and do it. We're not going to keep you in the back and say, oh, we're going to talk good about you. We want people's feet moving. We want people's feet on the ground. We want you involved in every aspect of what this ministry has. That is mission work. That is local mission work. Mission is nothing but service to God. That is what our local missions are. We are supposed to be Christians who say, yes, God, I've accepted you into my heart. Yes, God, I thank you for everything you've done for me. Yes, God, I'm going to go where you send me. Yes, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. When we started the church, feels like 100 years ago now. It's amazing to think I've been with New Vision 20 years now. But when we started, we had a motorcycle ministry. And part of our motorcycle ministry, we worked with a mission called Bill Glass Ministries. And we went into prisons. We'd take our bikes, we'd ride into prisons, and they allowed us to take our motorcycles into the yard, and we used them as a talking point to get people talking. And it's a Bill Glass Ministries that still goes on to this day. Those volunteers that were here, Sam, the guy that does our CPR training, Sam is one of the captains for that group. He is phenomenal at it. The very first time that I went, I was a new Christian. And, but I guess going into doing the prison work, it kind of fit into my wheelhouse because I can run my mouth with the best of them. And I can run my mouth in the way that they talk as well if need be. Because I have to remind people all the time, I wasn't always a Christian, don't push me. But the very first prison that I ever went into, I was supposed to be with a group. And things happen when you get inside. Things get switched up. You get moved around. And I wound up by myself I was with two other guys, but we got split up on one of the high lockdown areas. So we were literally having to go from cell to cell, talking to a person one-on-one. And the very first person that they put me in front of, he sat there for 15 minutes and called me everything but a child of God. He cussed me one way and upside down in the other. And I think about this and I pray about this all the time because I was able to quote scripture I didn't know. I was able to talk about stuff in the Bible that I honestly I don't remember ever reading. And You know, I'd like to say that I made an impact on that dude's life, but I think that I was just a sounding board for him because he's having a bad day. He was probably having a bad 25 to 30. But God does that. Had another instance where we went in and we had our motorcycles out in the yard, and because I am who I am, I love to talk with people. And I can't remember if Ron was with us on this one or not. We were down in Savannah. We were down in a prison in Savannah, so we're out in the yard, and I've got probably 15 or 20 guys around me, and we're talking, and there's this one smart aleck in the group, my kind of people. And he kept interrupting everything we were talking about, and you know, he was trying to get me off my game a little bit. And he finally looked at me and he goes, "You don't seem to be worried about us too much." I'm like, "No, really not." And he goes, "Well, what's going to stop us from jumping you right now if we want to?" And I don't know why I thought about it. I said, "Well, look up. What do you see on the wall?" He said, "I see the guards." I said, "Yep. They get paid to shoot you, not me." And so he wound up leaving us alone. But, I mean, that, you know, that's just, you know, God has gifted me with my gift. I get to run my mouth. I, you know, there's things that I know how to do. God has gifted me with those. And I'm able to use those to do mission work. You know, I circle back to Ron and Victor. We were in, was it El Salvador? Honduras. We were in Honduras, and we had to fight Ron the whole way because he was trying to build the only square structure in Honduras. And he about killed us, but because Ron is a craftsman. Ron is a perfectionist. And he's trying to build a square structure on something that was probably 30 inches out of square to begin with. And in his mind, he thought, you know, local inspectors were coming. And I'm like, "No, we don't have to worry about that, Ron. Just build the thing." And but Ron was able to use his talents, teach us some things. And that's what we all do. We come together as Christians. We take the talents that we're given with and we go. We use our talents to open relationships, to make disciples, to have those disciples go and use their talents to go do that, and we perpetuate it. But to perpetuate that, we can't focus on people my age. We're not going to be here much longer. We have to focus on this one. We have to focus on this one. These young people, we have to give them guidance, direction. We have to let them grow up. We have to let them make mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and not kick them out because they made a mistake. Because ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, when the church allowed me to do what I'm doing now, I made some errors. And they could have very easily said, "Don't, we don't want you preaching ever again." But they brought me in, they taught me, they showed me what I did wrong, and they allowed me to grow and continue to do what I do. We have to be able to love one another to do that. We have to be able to believe in one another. And back, circling back to what I said about relationships, we have to be committed enough to one another to be able to say, "Okay, let me show you how to do this." And that's a two-sided sword. That's a double-edged sword. You as the person who's learning have to be humble enough to say, "Yep, I messed up. Let me fix it. Let me correct it." Because everybody that's come up through leadership and done things, every one of us have made some massive mistakes. But I'm one of those people. I learn more from what I mess up than what I read in a book. Things that I start with, I may make a mistake or two along the way, but if you look at it long enough, you study on it long enough, you read it long enough, you'll figure it out. You may make a mistake as a new Christian, but if you study that book long enough, if you read that book enough, if you ask for instruction by the author of that book, you'll get it figured out. He'll show you that. He'll point you in the right direction. He'll get your feet moving. He'll give you the confidence you need. And then, when you've done all that he wants you to do, he's going to point you at something new and say, "Okay, I got this for you now. Let me teach you something new." And we have to be prepared for that. So that is what building disciples is. This is what building disciples looks like. Because when you build disciples, we have to build the new generation that's coming behind us. We have to teach them. We have to support them. We have to give them the opportunity. And I know of no other church that does it better than New Vision. So when we build those disciples, I'm hitting too many buttons at one time. So when we teach, I want to use my last verse as 2 Timothy 4:2. And it says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. I can teach. That patience thing I don't have. I struggle with that. Victor, nobody asked you. Because the people that taught me had no patience. If you think I'm bad, let me introduce you to my uncle. Because the way I learned was close your mouth and watch. If you got questions, ask them when we're done. Because we got work to do right now. And unfortunately for people around me, including my wife, that's the way I am today. When I'm working, I don't have time for 40 questions. Write them down. We'll talk about them later. Right now, I got work to do. And that's something I got to work on. Am I getting better? I'm going to quit letting her talk. Because we were always taught that, and this is, you know, going through all the upbringing that I did and the career paths that I had, you know, with the military, is that when it comes to teaching, I'm the one that knows the information. You want the information. Shut up and listen. That's how it goes. That's not the best way I've learned. I don't know why. Worked good for me. But anyway, we as Christians are called to preach the word. I, as a Christian, am called to preach the word. I heard this phrase used, and I love it. I am a pastor. I'm a minister of God. I'm a herald of the truth. I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to say the word as it is written. I'm going to apply it as it is written. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to change it, because if I change it, I'm sinning against God. I'm not going to say things that are against God's word. But I have to be ready to preach that word in season and out of season. What that means is I've got to be ready to speak the word of God and tell the truth of God when things are hard and when things are easy. I've got to be able to rebuke people with the word of God, but do it in a godly Christian manner. Still working on that, but I'm getting better. The great patience thing, I don't know. That's going to take something special. And instruction. The thing I want to focus on right here is the rebuke. Because I've talked about it. We all are going to make mistakes. Every single one of us are going to make mistakes. We should be rebuked. We should be open to hearing about, I made an error. I made a mistake. This is how God says I correct it. And we have to be open and humble enough to accept that. And I'm going to go off on a pet peeve of mine. Because we live in a society when you rebuke somebody in the name of God, what is the one phrase that you hear? Don't judge me. You can't judge me. Only God can judge me. Well, apparently they skipped over the Old Testament. There's a whole book called Judges. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you from this pulpit, telling someone where they messed up and showing them correction in God's word, you are not judging them. If they're upset about it, they're judging themselves and they need to look inward. telling somebody what God says and what God's word says and what they did is wrong according to God's word, you are not judging them. You are trying to save them from judgment. So when we mess up and somebody comes to us and say, hey, you messed up, let me show you in scripture where it's not right, we should be humble enough to say, you are right. Let me correct that. That's all of us. Me, everybody in this room, everybody that is breathing good air today. We all need to be humble enough to accept rebuke because we're not going to get it right 100% of the time. So I close out with saying that as Christians, we are called to accept God as greater than us and to point others to Him. God is God. We are not. God is greater than me. He's greater than you. He's smarter than me. He's smarter than you. He knows things we can't even fathom. And we have to trust Him to say, I believe you. Guys, y'all can come up. So that is our mission field. Our mission field starts here. Our mission field starts with them cute little babies in the back. Our mission field starts right outside the doors of New Vision Church to the community around us. Your mission field is the people you go to work with tomorrow. Your mission field is the people you have dinner with tonight. Start there. That is local missions. You don't have to sign up for a program. You don't have to sign up for a trip. God says, go locally. Go where you are. Take my name with you. Church, thank y'all so much for allowing me to be here. And just go with God.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, please visit our website at newvisionc.com and our socials at New Vision Church and NVC Next Gen. Just look for the round broken V logo and we'll see you soon. God bless.